This episode of Layers is sponsored by The White Company. In an ideal world, I'd be a gift giver who buys people cashmere jumpers and super soft gloves for Christmas. Like I said, that's in an ideal world. Right now, I'm figuring out how to buy something super special for each of the special people in my life, while sticking to a modest budget. To get some ideas, I've been browsing The White Company for stocking fillers and gifts under £30. The White Company is a go-to for luxe gifts, and they also have plenty of things that feel that bit more treaty for less. I could get Anna some cashmere socks, an essential gift for anyone who freelances from home. For Lucy, our producer, a set of vintage glass bowls. She's a fantastic cook, and I know she'd be able to make puddings worthy of being served in these. Realistically, I'd also get myself a silk eye mask, because I've wanted one for ages, and I could finally throw away the crappy grey one I still have from a flight years ago. So if you're looking to treat a loved one, or just throw a luxurious curveball into your office's under £10 Secret Santa, then we recommend heading to The White Company. Pop in store or online at thewhitecompany.com.
Welcome to Layers, a podcast about style and how we get dressed, with Stevie Mackenzie Smith and me, Anna Kinsler. The theme of this episode is boyish.
Anna, I have a storage unit update that I want to talk to you about.
Oh, really?
Yes. So this week I came up to London and I opened the storage unit that we've been using since the spring to store all of our stuff. Mm-hmm. And I have around four or five boxes of clothes and shoes in there, among various pieces of furniture and lots of boxes of books. And I needed to get some warmer things out for the winter. Mm-hmm. But when I opened my boxes, I just felt very apathetic about the clothes that were inside. And I even got some of them out of storage just to put straight on eBay or take to the charity shop, and it sort of just triggered a bit of a style identity crisis, and I think I need your help.
I mean, I am the Marie Kondo of fashion podcasting, so I would just say if it doesn't bring you joy, you need to throw it away, Stevie.
But like, that's the thing, I know, like, I am throwing things away.
But so how did you feel about the clothes before you got to the storage unit? Did you have things that you were anticipating looking forward to?
Some things, and I have taken some things out, like this fabulous jumpsuit that I have that I'm really enjoying wearing again. But I guess that, I mean, you know how it is when you're moving house, a lot of the time you just sort of don't necessarily think about how you feel about things, you're just focused on getting them into boxes and
pragmatic.
getting over and done with, exactly. But my problem is that I'm not totally sure what I want to buy in place of the things that I've got rid of. Mm-hmm. What I necessarily want to be wearing, who I am.
I know the feeling.
It's a much bigger question. Yeah. And when I was at uni, there was this guy, I remember my friends telling me about this guy who went to Urban Outfitters with his student loan and just bought himself an entire new wardrobe and reinvented himself into like a sexy man. And I just remember being sort of horrified that you could just throw money and a situation and transform yourself like that. It just seemed really inauthentic.
I personally love that idea, and I kind of wish the government would just offer all of us, you know, interest-free loans to just buy ourselves reinvention wardrobes. It could actually be a great way to stimulate
the economy. I mean, that would be my kind of trickle-down economics.
Yeah, exactly. Give money back to the local businesses who are going to sell us these clothes. I mean, I have a fair amount of clothes that I'm not totally happy with, so I know where you're coming from. And these are clothes that I wear quite a lot because they're just useful to my everyday life.
Yeah.
So it would be really freeing for me to have the financial ability to just replace them with clothes that I really love and that are also still useful to my everyday life.
Yeah, and I think that's quite nice to hear you say that, actually, because I think it is about the reality of one's own economic situation when it comes to what you wear versus the imagined outfits that you might have and what you really actually want to buy, even if you can't. And I really feel that tug even now with how I'm approaching my style. Like, on the one hand, I love wearing really comfortable jumpers and things that are quite easy and trousers and trainers, and then on the other hand, I just still want to be that woman that people say wow when they see me walk into a bar, whether that's out loud or just mentally. And I don't know why I still feel like that, why I still have that sort of pull between the two things.
There are different kinds of wow, though, you know? You and I might wow at someone who's just wearing, like, really great fucking trousers that are, like, really simple and elegant. They don't have to be the head-turning, really bright, vibrant, sexy, flashy thing.
Mm, that's true. That's true. And I think I am still after something that's quite bright, and I've come to realise that maybe this imagined thing isn't actually what's right for me.
Yeah. Like,
for example, I bought a red wrap dress off eBay last week, and I think I'm trying to summon a sort of sexy, bit more feminine version of myself, and I wore it out, and it's just not me.
Mm. Are you going to put it back on eBay?
I think I might do that. Or just take it to the charity shop. I mean, life's too short.
Yeah.
Pass it on. Someone else will like it.
I can't wear wrap dresses because I have no cleavage. It's quite sad. It's like a table there.
So sometimes there is a bit of an awkward... This is one of the things I had about this dress. There's just like an awkward boob situation where it wasn't quite hanging right. Mm-hmm. So I can appreciate
minefield.
That. Yeah. So some other boobier woman will enjoy it.
She's out there.
She's out there. What are some of the things that you'd buy if you were granted this... government sanctioned wardrobe fund?
I mean, this is all very pie in the sky, because it's one of those things that, like, oh, if you know, if I had unlimited funds, I would spend my time so wisely. Like, no, I would
and
probably...
your life would be perfect if you had the we were just assuming that these things would all be perfect and they wouldn't just become clothes in your wardrobe once again.
That sometimes have moth holes and sometimes annoy you. So I would probably just spend it unwisely on more coats, like more coats than I could ever use. I think sometimes when I'm feeling a bit emotional and hormonal, I stand in front of my wardrobe and I just think, like, God, I wish all these clothes actually made me feel great. Yeah. Like, instead of feeling a bit scruffy or lumpen or like not put together. I think really I just want to look like the Toast catalogue, if that is not too much to ask.
Recently, Anna visited Claire Healy to hear about a zip-up top with an emotional connection.
I'm Claire. I'm a writer and an editor. I'm deputy editor at Dazed and Confused magazine. So my favourite top, it's a vintage top. I bought it in Seattle, actually, when I was there on a trip. It was in this big kind of warehousey vintage store. It's kind of a bright purple colour t-shirt with white and yellow stripes, and it has a kind of ring pull zipper, and on the label it says like Grant's menswear, young menswear. I imagine it's for like a teenage boy in the 70s or something, kind of like in Freaks and Geeks, like the geeks in Freaks and Geeks. Makes me think of that. I feel like with tops like that, it's like they're so easy to wear. It's a t-shirt, you know, it's super casual, but something about the colours, I would say, because it's just this kind of very lurid purple and then the yellow and white stripes. I'm not sure I've seen like a colour combination like that before. And also it was cotton, which when you're shopping for vintage, as I'm sure you know, is like really rare.
It's a rare quality,
you always have like polyester and it's so sweaty and they look amazing, but it's just not going to work.
Yeah, you're right. And when we spoke about this top before, you said it kind of threw up interesting ideas about what it means to dress, to wear, I guess, clothes that might be for teenage boys, as you said, or children in that sense.
Yeah. I think it's interesting because for me, I always seem to be, or often seem to be drawn to maybe these clothes which signify more kind of childhood or girlhood. They're not always literally for children, because that would be hard, as they would be too small. But I think it's something, there's something about it which I just really like wearing. When I was thinking about it, it's almost like when I'm trying to dress more adult or be more grown up. And it's something you think about when you kind of go into the world of work as well, especially because you have to kind of hang up the crop tops of your and think about kind of being more impressive, perhaps. Mm-hmm. And for that to happen for me, it's always a kind of more of a degree of effort. It's just harder. I feel like more naturally drawn and more comfortable and hence more confident in some things which maybe would suggest something younger. And that can mean like lots of different things. I mean, it's not just like literal kind of very childish clothes. I think it's more, you know, something like that top with the zipper. It can sort of look very young, but you can also zip it down. You know, I love little things like very girlish hair clips or, you know, high-waisted trousers or, you know, even a pair of Converse. you know, which is so such like a teenage thing to wear, but in a way.
And would you wear this top to work, or is it part of your weekend wardrobe?
I've worn it to work. I've worn this top just in every context because it's like, I don't know. It's like you can wear it with jeans. I mean, that sounds so funny talking about. You can wear it with jeans and you can wear it, you know, with heels. But literally, you know, you can. And it's like, one thing I really like wearing it with is traditionally has been like these high-waisted corduroy navy trousers I have, which are very wide. And then with like some spangly earrings or something. And the corduroy trousers are too long for me, so I have very short legs. So I always have to wear like heeled shoes with that. So to me, that's a very like glamorous look. But I don't know if many people would find it so.
It's individual components.
Yeah.
Signify glamour in that way.
Yeah.
And I guess that's quite interesting because, you know, what you said about work, like you are a senior editor at a major fashion magazine and you're quite young for that role. Do you feel that you have to, I don't know, try to communicate something in how you wear as a result of that?
It's interesting because, you know, I am in this industry, in this world where you are very close to and very close to and very knowledgeable of like designer clothes and like everything that that world comes with. For me, you know, without having all the money in the world, I feel like one way to kind of express my individual interests through clothes has been to kind of gravitate towards vintage clothes. And yeah, I think just something about these styles of clothing, it just feels more me, you know. Traditionally, like if you look at the office, like a lot of people are wearing lots of black, and it's kind of a joke how much everyone wears black, like amongst everyone. But for me, you know, I used to try and do that and it just didn't suit me. It really didn't. My best friend when I was younger, and still my best friend now, when we were teenagers, we were super into we were in Essex and we'd go down to London and see all these rock bands. And, you know, she looked so great in her black leather jacket with like studs and all wearing black, very goth, platinum blonde, short hair. And I would try and be the same, but it didn't work. It really washed me out. So I think part of this kind of maybe childlike approach to dress is to do with like brighter colours. But yeah, it's interesting. I think being in that very fashion like heavy world, there is something where you're kind of maybe thinking a bit more about how you're presenting yourself. And that doesn't need to be a negative thing. I think it's kind of quite freeing because you're in this environment where you kind of maybe feel like you can experiment in your dress. But I'm not really thinking about it that much in a way. I think I just got to a point where I sort of know what I like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you think that what you like is kind of maybe nods to your interests outside of fashion? Like, I know when we originally talked about this top and you've mentioned Freaks and Geeks as a reference for it. Do you think that kind of world of cinema and stuff might have a link for you in terms of clothes?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it definitely does. And I think, you know, I love films and my kind of interest in writing and the culture I like does often gear around that kind of those moments of coming of age and adolescence and girlhood and, you know, all the way back when I was doing my dissertation or something like that, you know, I was writing about these things. And I think it's something that I'm always interested in writing about, and that filters through to the books I'm reading and the films I watch. And I think, you know, taking some kind of inspiration from the films you're watching, the characters you're watching, in terms of how you dress. Yeah, I think it's just something that I've always done. You know, there's something in dressing in this way where, you know, you're talking about a time when you're kind of, I mean, I don't know, but when you think about when you're a teenage girl, you're kind of, when I think about myself then, I was so confident, so much shyer than I am now, but so much more confident too.
Quite brave.
Brave. And, you know, I was like, I like chopped all my hair off when I was 15, really short.
Yeah.
And to do that now, I sort of wouldn't.
It's like you think slower or something now.
Yeah.
Everything takes a bit longer to rationalise.
It does, it does. And I think that there's a kind of, if you're channeling something of that, you're kind of cherishing that girl that you sort of once were, and you're kind of, it's kind of freeing you up in how you're how you dress too, because it's, you had more time to kind of think about how you dress then. And I think it's, I love that idea of kind of, yeah, cherishing the girl you once were and the kind of freedom and playfulness you might have had in how you dressed then. Even though now, you know, you're kind of so much further down the line and you're a woman and you can kind of be more confident about it almost. Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting, that kind of dichotomy, I think.
Do you think you'll always try to kind of cherish that girl and preserve something of her in how you dress?
Yeah. It's interesting because I think it's like, as I say, like I write about these things. So I wonder if it's a bit of a stretch to say that it's really kind of filtering into how I dress. But in a way, yeah, I think it is. And I think it's just nice. And I do notice that obviously in fashion now, there's, you know, women do want to dress in this way. Mm-hmm. Like you have, you know, and like Molly Goddard and, you know, Shrimps and all these designers. And, you know, there was that New Yorker long read on Bathsheba, that label recently, which is literally inspired by like Orthodox Jewish women and their dress, and has prints that are actual like teddy bears and things like this.
It's also very Laura Ashley, I guess, like mother and daughter and stuff as well.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like a forgotten ideal of girlhood in a way.
Yeah. And yet women are really drawn to dressing in this way. And it's interesting because also, you know, obviously women wouldn't be drawn to those kind of big baggy dresses and like girlish accessories if it wasn't making them feel confident and sexy. But of course, I think like members of the opposite sex don't really find it sexy.
Maybe it's not like that.
It's not. Yeah. But of course, it's. I mean, it's true. They don't. Like, my boyfriend, like, completely detests these, like, clips that I wear in my hair.
What does he think about your top?
The top he likes.
Okay.
He does like that top.
Yeah.
But I guess it's maybe it's more... Yeah, it's something about the berets and the clips. I don't know why.
I think those accessories. And I know what you mean because I wear a lot of, like, glittery socks.
Yeah.
But also hair clips. And definitely, I think, the current obsession with earrings, like, playful earrings and lots of earrings, is very harking back to, like, teenage girlhood in a way.
Mm.
So I think maybe it's those accessories are, like, the gateway drug for grown women who aren't ready to go for the full dress.
Yeah,
the full Bathsheba halo.
Yeah, or cannot afford them.
Yeah.
But yeah. Although they're quite affordable, the Bathsheba.
Yeah, they are.
In the grand scheme of things. Yeah, I've never cared about that, you know, whether whoever I'm with or someone else doesn't find that attractive, because I just like it. That's the missing link, really, isn't it? Because if I'm feeling more confident in those things, that's what matters.
Mm. Can you think of any characters from film who you think kind of represent that sensibility and maybe that urge to cherish girlhood in that way?
I mean, Virgin Suicides is an obvious one, but the way that Sofia Coppola like captures girlhood in that movie is so magical. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we all watch that movie at a very impressionable age, and there's like a quote from her where she says she was really obsessed by the beauty of banal details in that movie. And I really like that because it's so true of it. And you have that kind of idea of innocence and then kind of versus knowledge, kind of naivety, and then like that kind of coming of age moment. And something about the 1970s, I guess, really captures that kind of dichotomy. And it's like, you know, girls really were wearing these very long, like, floral, kind of almost quite shapeless dresses then.
And very long hair.
Yeah, and that was popular.
Yeah.
But then, you know, you have her, like, writing Trip Fontaine's name on her knickers, and it's just, like, things like that.
Yeah.
And also when they're all just in the house, kind of trapped in there, and the details of that where they're just wearing kind of cotton pyjamas and, like, these little floral kind of tops, and it's all kind of pinky, dusky pinks, and they're just like light, like all on top of each other. It's just like this big mishmash of girlhood and like hormones. It's just, it's quite great. But yeah, you know, the character, like, details in that movie are great. I don't know if it's more like, you definitely have characters in films who are like being playful in their dress in this sense, which I think I would more take like direct influence from.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was rewatching The Last Days of Disco, which is such an amazing movie. If like anyone who hasn't seen it, it's just, it's, it has Chloe Sevigny and Kate Beckinsale, and it's by Whit Stillman, and it's just about people, you know, they're in their 20s, they've graduated, and they're trying to make it in publishing, and then they're also going to the disco every weekend, and it's set in the very, very, very early 1980s, as they say at the beginning of the movie. Great music, great clothes. They're just kind of like dating these guys who are kind of useless, and they're just kind of feuding with each other. I think the kind of the way they dress in the film is just so indicative of that time. Like in the day, it's like you were saying about, you know, what you wear when you work, because it's like, this is the person I want to be, you know. So when they're in the publishing house, where completely inexplicably they work in the same place and live together, which I feel like wouldn't happen, but they're wearing shirts and blazers and they're really, you know, smartening up. Suddenly Kate Beckinsale wears glasses in the office when she doesn't wear them at any other point. And then at the disco, they're just dressing in this way where, you know, it's their going out clothes, but it's quite simple too. So, you know, Chloe Sevigny's character is never going to be the kind of girl who wears like tons of makeup, and she doesn't. And, but she just wears completely casually a rainbow sequin boob tube, which is just, obviously just looks great because it's Chloe Sevigny. But I really like this kind of, the way they dress in the film, because it's that kind of time where you're figuring it out, and they are sort of play acting in both worlds. Like, you know, the Chloe Sevigny character, she's a little quieter and not that confident, and is sort of going through that kind of second coming of age moment that you have after graduation. And, you know, when she's in the office, it's like she's sort of play acting this woman who will get the dream job and will find the great book to publish. And then even in the disco, she's slightly uncomfortable, even in the dressy up outfits, because she's just kind of acting a little bit in both scenarios, because she's just figuring it out and she's not super confident. There's something about that which is, you know, when I talk about that kind of coming of age moment, it's, it does interesting things with how you dress, but that can happen in, you could be, you know, 16, or you can be 26, or, you know, much later. I think, yeah, it does interesting things with dress, those kind of confused moments.
And it is so performative, I guess, in those moments as well. Like you're, so you're trying on different identities.
You are.
With clothing, yeah.
Yeah, and in a way that's, yeah, that's what you're always doing, right? It's, I think it's, like in terms of how I dress now, I feel like I've kind of reached that point in some ways where I'm like super comfortable with what I'm wearing, and it's not that kind of figuring out moment. But then it is too. Like I'm not, I still don't feel super comfortable all the time in what I'm wearing. But you do just find the things that maybe you find the most interesting, and like you repeat those. Yeah. Something like that top has been a mainstay for like different reasons. But
when did you buy it?
Oh, I bought it in, I think it was 2013. Yeah. I was like on a kind of post-graduation, saved up some money and went up the Pacific Northwest coast. And yeah, it's kind of, it's not a top I've ever grown to dislike. It's just a great top. Machine washable. Has tiny holes in it now. And yeah, it's just interesting because I did just notice how it has that kind of young menswear label. And it's just, it's weird because I don't know who once wore this top, but I love that idea. That's why I like vintage clothes.
You can see Claire's work in the latest issue of Dazed, and you can follow her on Twitter at ClaireHLY. This episode is also sponsored by E2. Staying active when you live in London can be a real challenge. Between long hours, transport chaos, after-work drinks and supermarket ready meals, exercise is often the first thing to fall by the wayside. One way to remedy this is E2. E2 is an app that lets you book your next fitness class with just a few quick taps. It works by aggregating all sorts of workouts all over the city in one place, so you can easily see where your local yoga or boxing class is. It's also a great way to find new classes to try. Fancy practicing your pirouettes at a bar class? Getting sweaty with hot yoga?
Maybe it'll be good old-fashioned aqua aerobics. There are tons of options available all over the city. How E-Squared works is you only pay for one workout at a time, so there's no pressure to stick with something, and no guilt over monthly memberships either. This gives you the freedom to mix different activities and studios to fit your lifestyle. E-Squared is available on iOS and Android, and with the offer code POD20, you'll get £15 free credit, which should cover most of your first class. I'm looking forward to getting back to the ballet bar with mine.
How often do you buy new clothes?
I very rarely buy new clothes because, like someone was saying earlier, I spend about 6 months trying to work out what it is, trying to save up and failing to afford it, and then it's normally sold out the way things go now.
How often do I buy new clothes? I buy new clothes maybe once a month. I treat myself to something, but I'm trying to buy less things that are better quality.
I feel like there's always clothes that I want to buy, and then I sort of plan buying them for ages, and then I decide I can't afford it, and then I don't. And then I'll buy something in an emergency that I actually don't really have. And I wish I was actually more organised and actually saved to buy the new clothes that I want, but I don't do that nearly enough.
Constantly. I constantly buy clothes. I made a vow this year that I wasn't going to buy any more new clothes because I feel terrible about manufacturing, kind of the ethics and the environmental issues around that. But I am just a compulsive eBay shopper. I will browse my saved searches 4 or 5 times a week. And sometimes it's just enough to look, but I do also quite often buy stuff.
Whenever I get any money, so not a very good answer.
That's the same. It's entirely linked to if I have any money. Mm-hmm. And maybe like once every 3 months.
I just don't. I got rid of all my clothes in the hope that I would buy a whole new, you know, capsule wardrobe. And then I never got round to the buying of the new clothes.
So what are you imagining? Maybe it's just too stressful a subject, but...
It was imagining those clean girls, those clean Soho girls,
clean?
Wearing those sort of grey cashmere jumpers and some tailored trousers and some gold hoops. I don't even have my ears pierced, but maybe I should.
Hearing Claire talk about cinema and especially the amazing outfits and films like The Last Days of Disco makes me want to talk about the fact that I watched Suspiria this week.
Oh, brilliant.
Actually, in terms of trying to figure out who you want to be in the middle of a style funk, that's quite a good film to watch. It made me want to wear like really beautiful sort of bulbous dresses and knee-high tan leather boots. I'd definitely recommend it for a hit of style and spo.
Sounds like a rich vein of inspiration for you in particular.
Definitely. But again, it's about summoning a different version of oneself. But I think I'm happy to experiment maybe if I can find some nice tan leather shoes.
I think you can. I'm also very interested in what Claire was kind of saying about dressing your age or dressing to project a particular age. I think during my mid-20s, I felt like almost as a responsibility, this urge to make the most of my ability to wear certain things. Things that I thought I wouldn't be able to get away with in my 30s. You know, people are always like, women over this age shouldn't wear miniskirts. And I was like, well, I love wearing miniskirts.
Yeah.
So I better wear them all the time now before it's too late. Now I'm reaching the end of my 20s. I don't feel that pressure to make the most of my supposed youth in the same way. Mm. And I also don't feel like those rules are... as strict as society sometimes wants you to
think. No, totally. I mean, they're just rubbish.
And now I kind of feel like I can just dress like the 29-year-old woman I am, and that doesn't have to mean it's boring or serious or frumpy or not wearing a miniskirt.
That's great. That sounds like you've found, you know, you've found a sort of way to be self-assured in how you dress, maybe regardless of your age.
I think I just care so much less about what everyone else thinks.
Yeah, it's tiring caring.
It is.
I really liked what Claire said about nostalgic accessories, like fun hair clips and berets. Mm. And again, I like to think that they're sort of these anti-serious ways of dressing, little additives to brighten an outfit. And it made me think of this woman I know, Susan Ferguson, who lives in Manchester. And I met her in a bar there after we watched the same film at an art house cinema, and she always wears these really cheeky pin badges that quite often say quite rude things. And, you know, also she has badges that say things like "not wife material" or "I am my own muse." And because she always stands with a really fantastic, quite open posture, she's just the sort of person that will always talk to strangers and find herself in amazing situations because she's spoken to strangers. So these badges are sort of an invitation to start a conversation, and everybody knows that Susan wears badges. But going back to what you were saying about age, are there things that you'd like to wear but you feel like you can't yet wear them because almost you have to be older in order to wear them?
I don't think there are specific things. I think maybe it's more to do with the mode of dressing. And I am conscious that my relationship with things like my body and my gender and even my memory and my past experiences, they all evolve as I get older, and that has an impact on how I want to dress. Like, I think, for instance, when I was in university and I was younger, I felt that I had a really boyish figure. And I mean, it was quite boyish, you know, whatever, your body changes as you age wonderfully. But to address that, I kind of felt like, oh, you know, I should wear really girly things to kind of balance that out. And I didn't really have the confidence in myself to wear the more masculine things I might have wanted to. Now, as I said, I just really couldn't care less what anybody thinks of my figure. So I will wear whatever I want. But I think that my 20-year-old self would be kind of aghast at, you know, maybe the baggy jeans I'm wearing today or the men's jumpers and things like that.
That makes me think, I hope that maybe there'll be something that you'll be wearing in 30 years' time that maybe you'd be surprised to think now that you might be wearing it. Not aghast exactly, maybe just impressed. Oh, like, wow, I finally got that amazing purple opera coat I always wanted.
Oh my God. I can only dream, Stevie.
Thanks for listening. We'll be taking a short break over Christmas, but we'll be back in the new year. Layers is produced by Lucy Dearlove. You can follow us on Instagram at layers.podcast.
And please tweet us and tell us what you're wearing. We are at Layers Podcast. And if you have a minute, please rate us on Apple Podcasts. It really makes a difference. And if you like Layers, tell your friends to listen too. It can be their Christmas present for free.